Young men are the rulers of a small empire, an empire composed of such territories as hit records, real estate, testimonials, a line of clothing bearing their name, concerts and public appearances, even their own restaurant. They are the Kingston Trio. 5 years ago, not more than a handful of us had ever heard of them. Today, they're a big business, earning well over $1 million a year. We're going to hear the story and the songs of the Kingston Trio tonight on PM East.
Well, the first time I sit down in Korea, she was wandering through the wood with a kerosene lantern on her shoulder and a satchel full of goods.
Please do drop by next Sunday. Please bring me a jug or pie.
What's that, Daddy?
When the sun comes up on Tuesday, I don't think it should be alive.
Well, I don't care if you are living, and I don't care if you're dead. If you're gonna drink my product, then I'm gonna take your bread.
Tell him, Johnny. Well, the last time I see Doug for it, she was weaving through the weeds with the government man behind her. Gonna grab her for her tea.
The Kingston Trio is an empire by now. As we said, ruled by three fairly young men, the oldest of whom is Nick Reynolds.
Thank you, sir.
He's 28 years old and is going to sit up here. His wife tells me that he's kind, honest, and decent, and you've been married for how long?
About a couple of days.
three years.
3 years.
3.5 years.
Then there's Bob Shane, who ordinarily wears glasses offstage, but is...
He's bashful.
Yeah. He's 27 years old. You want to... Attaboy.
Attaboy, Bobby.
And finally, the new and baby, the new one and the baby of the
group. Bring on the new boys!
John Stewart, who is only 22 years old.
Only. Been a long 22.
Been pretty tough, huh, John?
Hey, Nick.
Yes, sir.
Kingston. Where'd the name come from?
Well, when we were playing, Bobby and I actually got started playing together in college, and this was the time of Harry Belafonte. And this was when? 1956? 59.
I would say that he's still doing fairly well.
Well, I know, but this was when the big Calypso craze was. Harry's branched off and done a lot of other things since then. But the Calypso thing was going strong, and I only knew how to play the bongo drums at the time, and Bobby played the guitar only. So we got together, and it's just everything came out Calypso. So we needed a name, and we needed it fast, so we said, you know, what can we do?
Kingston.
Kingston, Jamaica.
Sure.
And it stuck, and we never have changed it. We thought about changing it after we got started, and we said, you know, like, Calypso's going out, and I finally picked up this sort of organic ukulele.
This new fellow over here replaced a man by the name of, what was his name, the fellow that replaced?
Dave Gard.
Yes, Dave Gard. Now, one of the...
Was that his name?
One of the biggest pieces of news in show business this past year was the fact that Dave Gard left the very successful Kingston Trio.
Wow. Was news to me. No.
Was it you and he didn't get along?
No.
You and he didn't get along?
No. He and I didn't get along.
I didn't get along. John shot him right out of his desk.
What happened to you and Dave Gard?
Dave actually wanted to do other things, really. That was the basic real hassle. He had eyes to do different kinds of music than we're doing now. Bobby and I basically sing for fun, and so does John. And that's why we picked John, for one reason.
And David sang for money.
Well, we sing for money, too, but the basic premise is if you're not enjoying yourself at what you're doing, and we do enjoy ourselves with the songs, then it's not worthwhile. Nothing, you know, it's too much of a hassle.
Sure.
You know the business.
Yeah.
So
he decided to pick up his marbles and go, and
he no longer enjoyed it.
That left the two of you.
Right.
And there you had all kinds of...
It was fun for a while, yeah.
What did you do, just the two of you? You had all those concert appearances and all those albums and all the various other things that you had to do, and only the two of you.
Took a long vacation.
Took a long vacation. Forced.
Really? How long?
Well, actually, in that time, we didn't take much vacation at all. We started up almost right away and started auditioning for a new member.
And you?
And I.
John Stewart, age 22. How'd you happen along?
He's working for the Peace Corps and just dropped by one day. Right.
Flew in on a dove.
Flew in on the back of a dove.
You look like you might be old enough to have been sitting in a college class listening to Kingston Trio records.
You mean? Yeah, I was. That's where I was when the Kingston Trio came out. I was in college. And it was a mania. It really was. It was a mania when they first came out.
Yeah.
He's been toast to say these things.
And so what happened? Who approached whom?
I happened to be at the San Jose concert they did with Dave Guard when Dave was leaving. And I saw there was going to be an opening, and I made myself very available.
I know you did.
Calling twice, sometimes three times a day.
We've known John for about 2.5 years. He started writing songs for us. He's a very, I don't want to blow his horn too loud, but he is a tremendous songwriter and very...
Go ahead, man.
All right, well, so now we understand a little bit about how the three of you got together. We just wanted to get a chance to meet all of you a little bit more quietly, and now I would like to talk...
$1 million a year, really?
That's Joe Business Illustrated says $1,200,000 a year, and I want to know how much comes from the restaurant and how much comes from selling your shirts and how much comes from singing your songs.
It's mostly from singing.
Is
right
it?
Now, we've gone into other things besides that because you know, it sounds like a terrible problem to have. You know, it sounds like I'm coming on, but it's, you have to do something with it. It just...
Of course.
You know.
Of course.
So
the important thing to know is how much the government gets.
Right.
Right?
You don't mind.
No.
No. Who's going to support the Peace Corps?
That's right.
Right.
That's correct. We have, I think, an almost exclusively Peace Corps audience. If you want to clap, go right ahead and clap about the Peace Corps.
Don't wish to feel obligated.
In spite of what the ex-president said, huh? Now then, I understand that there's a tune called Merry Minuet that you are forbidden to do on television.
We've tried to do it before, and it's been, they said, you know, they get the continuity people in, and they say, no, you can't do that.
Why?
We've got sort of a social reference.
A social reference?
Talks you mean about different countries and...
A social disease?
A social, anti-social reference, put it that way.
Oh, I see. I see. What's it about?
What did you say? It deals with the bomb.
Oh.
And it's a satire on modern times. It was written in 1949, I think, and we've been very lucky because we haven't had to change any lyrics since then due to our foreign policy.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's no reason in the world why you can't. It's late at night. Not many people watch anyway. So why don't you sing the Merry Minuet for us now?
Have you got your guitar?
I just so happen to have a guitar.
That's nice.
Bob, so you can get into the picture. Why don't you move up, Bob?
Oh, thank you.
I'll move down by John.
I got to put my glasses back on. Social disease.
My mother.
I know you should.
One, two, three.
I say we're in tune.
They're rioting in Africa. They're starving in Spain. There's hurricanes in Florida. And Disneyland needs rain. The whole world is festering with unhappy souls. The French hate the Germans. The Germans hate the Poles. Italians hate Yugoslavs, South Africans hate the Dutch.
And I don't like anybody very much.
But we can be tranquil and thankful and proud. For man's been endowed with a mushroom-shaped cloud. We know for certain that some lovely day someone will set the spark off.
And we will all be blown away.
They're rioting in Hyannisport. They're strifing Iran. What nature does in due to us will be done by our fellow man.
Back home or not. That fallout looks like
it's just about the biggest hit that the Kingston Trio ever had was Tom Dooley. And we're going to hear that song with Joyce's help in just about a minute.
Okay. blondes. Be kind to dumb blondes. Understand?
All right.
Okay?
All right.
Now,
all right.
How do you do this?
Trot.
Do it once more.
Do you think you have it by now?
I did it. Don't be a smart...
You did it pretty good. Not bad.
All right.
Why don't you read the announcement for this song? I just so happen to have it given to me by the stage manager.
This is what you always do, Nick.
This is what I do.
How
so
do you
I'll
do
direct
it?
You in this.
All right.
All right, Bobby, if you'll start it. Not yet.
Throughout history, there have been many songs written about the eternal triangle. This next one tells of a Mr. Grayson.
Yes.
And a condemned man. Yes. Tom Dooley. When the sun rises tomorrow, Tom Dooley must be.
Do not cry down.
Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Hang down your head and cry.
While you sing a song like that. I don't know whether to cry or sing.
Well, you always slash your wrist. Emergency arises.
I like that song. Is
Thank
it a true
you.
Song?
It's a very true song. It happened in 18-something, Bobby.
63.
Bobby's our historian. Tell him the story.
No, 65.
Tell him about...
You believe it. You really believe
it. Well,
really
we went to Statesville, North Carolina, where Tom Dooley was tried and hung, and he was from Ferguson in
Wasn't it a
Wilkes
publicity
County.
Stunt?
No.
No.
West Virginia. We actually went to where he was buried, as a matter of fact.
So his gravestone, the whole thing.
Oh, man.
Did you
think
cry?
I'm putting you on, don't you?
Yes, I do.
No, it's true. We did a concert for them down there, the people in the great Statesville, North Carolina. Danced around the funeral pyre.
Well, I'll get a lot of letters.
Why not?
Send in the letters.
I think Tom Dooley, from the sound of that song, would have liked it if you had.
Well, he was singing it, as a matter of fact. He wrote the song. The story goes down there that on the way to his hanging, they took him in an old cart drawn by a horse, and he was fiddling this song. He made it up in jail while he was on trial and awaiting to be Kong, and he sang this to the people standing there, waving and clapping and cheering as he was going to his death.
Is this true that you don't think of yourselves as particularly good singers?
Individual
or good
voices,
musicians?
John, say something.
John?
I don't consider myself a good singer. I don't, you know. Depends on what you mean by a good singer.
A good musician should be able to sit down and read music. You know, there's a big difference, and none of us really can.
How do you make it?
Well,
if you can't.
It's a thing that
you don't consider yourself particularly good musicians or particularly good singers.
We have a great time, though.
Yes.
All the time.
Yes.
It's not a phony thing. You know, it's not a phony thing.
But
I really enjoy doing this.
But I don't understand. If you don't, you're sitting there with a kind of an interesting
I don't think that we feel that we're particularly good singers or particularly good musicians. We do have a good time entertaining. I think the old saying is that a lot of people are unhappy because they say we claim to be folk singers and we're not the real ethnic folk singers. We have never yet really claimed to be folk singers. We sing folk songs among other songs.
Mm-hmm. Merry Minuet's an off-Broadway show, and we do things from Broadway. We call them Win Mariah and other songs.
You, from the very beginning, have sort of branched away from the typical college audience. Why, you don't do the
branched
twist?
Branched away?
Well, no, you've stretched out from that. That's the better word.
We do the twist.
You do the twist?
Would you like to twist?
I'd like to see you twist.
No.
Yeah, come on. Come on, Nick.
No, I really don't. I don't do it.
Well, who does it?
Well, we practice.
Josh White Jr.
Next time you have him on the show.
I've met him.
Have you seen him do the twist? It's the most frightening thing you've ever seen in your life. We worked with they were working in Boston when we were up there.
You won't do the twist?
Ronnie,
can you do the twist?
Oh, no, I can't dance.
Well, why do you introduce such a thing into this show if you're not going to do it?
Well, you said the twist.
I just said the twist. I didn't say I was going to do it. You said, would you like to see us do the twist?
No, we play music. You can do the twist and we do this next song, this Bad Man Blunder thing that we're going to do in a little while. But that's a twist song.
I'm too old.
I saw you doing a twist earlier.
Never told a twist.
See, there, I've got you on the spot. Split.
What do you say? You know what?
That means go.
Yeah, I know. We're alone.
Well, I wish I was Woody Allen, is all I can say. He's so forward.
That's a terribly inside joke. You know?
I know, it really is.
Some critics have criticized you for the way you three sing folk songs.
Well, we changed some of the lyrics, I
think. Yes, you did.
And, well, I don't really feel like singing about chain gangs because, like, they don't exist anymore, really, anyway. In some places they do, but I've never been...
You're doing men's minds.
Yes. Right.
Yes.
Do they in yours?
No, but I was thinking about the people who listen to it. Am I...
When we find a song that we like...
Yeah.
Sometimes we will change the lyrics to suit our particular scene, which is, you know, the way we feel about the song.
Did you do that with Bad Man's Blunder?
No, this was written by one of the greatest actual folk writers who just passed away a few months ago, Cisco Houston, who wrote this for the Weavers. And they did it for a while, and they decided they didn't want to do it, so Freddie Hellerman gave it to us. And it's sort of a put-on of every cowboy song that's ever been written.
Is that why they split?
Who?
The boys.
Yes, they're getting warmed up over there. They're getting ready for their put-on. Freddie, kids? Are you ready?
Are you ready,
bad
boys?
Bad Man Blunder.
Go.
It's not really a song about a bad man at all. It's a song about a man who was culturally deprived.
Well, early one evening I was roaming around. I was feeling kind of mean, I shot a deputy down. I stole along home and I went to bed. Well, I laid my pistol right under my head.
Well, then he stole out of home.
I took my time
and he went to bed.
Thought I'd sleep some.
He laid his pistol,
Big 22,
up under his head.
I keep it handy, yeah, for many reasons. Well, early next morning, about the break of day, I figured it was time to make a getaway. Stepping right along, but I was stepping too slow. Got surrounded by a sheriff down in Mexico.
Well, he was stepping right along.
I was hot-footing it,
but he was stepping too slow.
We're a sultry day.
He got surrounded by a sheriff
doing the twist
in Mexico.
I didn't even have a chance to see the country. They're all dancing fools down there.
Come on, Chubby.
When I was arrested, I didn't have a dime. The sheriff said, son, you're locked free this time. Where you're going, you won't need a cent, cause the great state is that just gonna pay your rent.
Cause where you're going,
I think they mean jail.
You won't need a cent.
They know I'm broke.
Cause the great state of
Texas, yippee,
gonna pay your rent.
I'm mighty grateful, fellers. You too, Lady Bird, wherever you are. Well, I didn't have a key and I didn't have a file. Naturally, I stayed around until my trial. The judge was an old man, 93, and I didn't like the way the jury looked at me.
Oh, well, the judge was an old man.
Too old.
93.
Entirely too old. I didn't like the way the jury looked at me. I think they were a little weird.
Well, the judge and the jury, they did agree. They all said murder in the first degree. The judge said, say,
I don't know whether to hang you or not.
Why not?
This here killing of deputy sheriffs has just got to naturally STOP stop.
My goodness.
You got a point there, Judge. It was a most unsatisfactory trial. They gave me 99 years on the hard rock pile. 99 on the hard rock round. And all I ever did was shoot a deputy down.
Oh, well, 99
could have been lying
on the hard rocky ground.
They might have hung me.
And all he ever did was
shoot at the Camera, sugar. I saw her doing the twist.
I know, she was doing it. You're really much taller without makeup, I guess.
Yes. You're shorter without your guitar?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Gentlemen, I don't mean it. they're really boys. Don't go away because Mike will be right back to hear about the fourth member, the funny one of the trio.
This is the fourth member, the funny one that Joyce was talking about.
Say something.
David Buckwheat, and we're going to be talking with him in a few minutes. But first, we're going to watch the trio do something a little bit different. Nick here has exchanged his guitar for a set of drums. The title of the song is what?
Oken Karange.
Which means?
Invocation to the Muse.
What?
I don't know.
He All speaks right. in a tongue.
Yeah,
Hey-ho, buddy. Hoye, 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 hoye. Kitty, ho, buddy. Hoye, 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 hoye.
Bob wanted a little water, so we got him a little water?
I was thirsty,
not dirty.
Now, young man, if you'll come over here. This is David Buckwheat, who is the fourth member of the Kingston Trio, and as I was saying a little while ago, he's the one that... How come they won't let you on stage, on television, most of the time?
Probably don't want to destroy
our image.
Right.
Oh, well, he's the best-looking one in the crowd. How come?
Well,
you
my
come,
father.
You come a little closer, otherwise we aren't going to be able to hear you. If you have anything to say, tell me about Buckwheat.
We found Buckwheat at the Hungry Eye, as a matter of fact, when we were first playing there, and he's been with us for, what, 3.5 years?
About 3.5.
What were you?
Ridiculous years.
Busboy at the,
No, I was,
Polished up Banducci's beret?
Enrico's chief thief.
What did you do at the Hungry Eye?
I was the house bass player, playing back of other acts.
You played jazz mostly there, huh?
That's my forte originally, yeah.
And you gave it all up to turn illegitimate with this crowd, because,
yes,
I mean, that...
Brings folk music to the world.
Our social advisor. And
your social advisor?
And spiritual leader.
Tell me, when you travel, I've often wondered about the trials and tribulations of a fellow who had to go every place with one of these. Is it a little tough?
It is. This instrument is 200 years old. It's made by a famous Italian bass player, Vincenzo Panormo.
Yeah.
And it's very delicate, and luckily the boys have seen fit to buy a ticket for it everywhere we've been, which is about 400,000 miles of...
You mean to say when you get on an airplane, you got to take this up the aisle and put him down on the seat beside you and talk to him all during the trip?
Right.
Him, not him?
This Mr. Bass Fiddle.
Yeah, they go absolutely nuts
in Ireland. That's how it's listed on the ticket.
Mr. Bass, B-A-S-S. And they say, where's Mr. Bass? They go looking around the plane, they think he's got a bomb in the little room, whatever.
He also gets a meal.
Water closet.
What's he get? He gets
a... I'll bet he does get an extra meal.
Now then, you fellas are gonna, if you'll just move out, John.
All right,
Dick,
all right, yes.
Beat it. You made these drums, did you, Buck?
Yes, Mike. They're some drums that a friend of mine and I in California constructed. They're made of fiberglass, and they're tonal drums. They have a definite pitch. Amazing.
Play Mary Had a Lamb. Really?
Can you really?
Some of our drums have been used in Hollywood by Johnny Mandel and the score for I Want to Live,
mm-hmm.
Henry Mancini, Les Baxter, a lot of people like that.
How come you don't wear a shirt like the rest of the fellas?
They want me to look more like an undertaker, I think.
True. All right, as I said, you can go now.
I'm trying to get my form in.
And Robert, you're going to sing Scotch and Soda now?
Yes, sir.
And he's going to accompany you?
I hope so.
Would the audience care to hear Scotch and Soda with...
Scotch and soda, what's in your eyes? Baby, do I feel high over me? Oh my. Do I feel high? Dry martini, shaker of gin. Oh, what a spell you've got me in. Oh my, do I feel high? People won't believe me. They think that I'm just bragging, but I could feel the way I do. Still be on the wagon. All I need is of your smile, sunshine of your eyes over me, oh my. Do I feel higher than a kite can fly? Give me lovin', baby, I feel high.
Good job. Congratulations.
Way to go, baby. Kai.
Listen, will you explain something? We did a show with the Limelighters a little while ago. And we did a show with the Brothers Four.
We did a show with Paul Coates.
And what I don't understand is, and we tried to find out from them too, all of a sudden, oh, you're comic. All of a sudden, men's groups are big. It isn't so much, it's not the girls' group so much, and it isn't the single act, but suddenly, what suddenly makes this kind of entertainment such a huge success? John?
Why,
I understand you're the intellectual of the crowd, so come on over.
Come on, Lou.
Explain it, Lou.
Go ahead, Lou.
Let's think a little.
I feel it's a success because people like you who are presented and take the opportunity.
Thanks a lot. All right. I'm sorry that I asked.
And I'm missing Jack Parr.
Everybody can sing this stuff, really. And this is a complete area, this age level, you know, or. It's not even an age level. These are people that have been neglected before. They have rock and roll, you know, at a certain thing. And they have opera and jazz at a farther level. And this is something that can be sung by everybody, can be understood, you can understand the lyrics usually.
Uh-huh.
And
what you're really kind of trying to say is that your audience is kind of a simple audience.
No.
Look it off.
No. People basically like to sing.
Of
like
course,
to enjoy themselves. Yeah.
You mentioned rock and roll before, and I understand our friend over here, Bobby, did a little rock and roll in Japan. Would you like to
rock and roll, Jimmy?
Come on.
A little Japanese rock and roll.
Nick tells me that you do rock. You did. What's the story about doing rock and roll in Japan?
Tell me about the coffee.
Well, they have a.
Come down, Sammy.
Yes, sir. No, they have several different coffee houses in Japan. The coffee houses is a big media of entertainment.
Is that where they bathe?
No, they have just regular coffee houses. They're the wildest places you've ever seen. They make most of the...
That's what I mean.
No, they make most of the United States clubs and things really look small because these places are beautiful. They put hundreds of thousands of dollars into these things, or yen or whatever they do, you know.
Yeah.
And they have a coffee house for classical music, for instance, chamber music. They have a coffee house for rock and roll, a coffee house for Western music. And they sing like Western rock and roll. They sing one verse in just exactly like the American entertainers and one verse in Japanese.
Can you imitate what they do, the rock and roll Japanese style?
I can't do it, really.
Oh, come on.
Do Elvis.
Not like them, no.
Do Elvis.
Well, do Elvis.
I will not.
Come on, do it.
I will outknow him. He's the emperor, really.
Huh? Well, we understand that he's the emperor. You can be the crown prince for about 30 seconds. Come on.
Do it. What would my wife think of me?
Is she here?
No.
No,
she's
never
old,
tell.
But she's watching.
Come on.
Do it.
I'm really embarrassed.
You see him do Elvis?
Come on, do Elvis.
Watch out for your face.
Bird, you're walking me up. Sick home all alone.
That's very good. Well, we've already spotlighted Nick on drums and Bob singing.
Bob on his pelvis.
Yeah, Bob. And in just a moment.
I'm sorry, honey.
We'll be featuring John Stewart's banjo in Little Maggie. That's coming right up.
Them two blue eyes,
yuck, yuck.
They shine just like them diamonds,
black and diamonds up in the sky.
You'll get pretty flowers, we're meant for blooming. Pretty stars, we're meant to shine. Pretty girls were made for boys to love. Surely Maggie was made for man.
Well, young is fancy little Maggie with a trend glass in her hand. She's begin to wear her trouble.
Me down to the station with a suitcase in my hand. I'm going to wait for the week. My love's going to far distant land.
See you, John.
Again.
The girls all scream and carry on for you. Do you have trouble with girls?
Oh. Not until now.
No, I mean... Listen, come on. I'm missing the Jack Parr show, too.
All right. Okay. No, we really don't. It's very hard to associate with, with one
member. I mean, when you travel around.
No, well, it's not like the...
Tear out your striped shirt or anything?
No, because there's three of us, see? There's safety in numbers first, and we're all pretty...
What about the one who likes tall girls without makeup?
Who's that? Buckwheat.
No.
No, I don't mind if they're...
Didn't they once tear your hair out?
No, this is at Long Beach. This is a very peculiar... That's a peculiar area.
Oh, I see.
First ever been there. Monty Schell, a comedian who goes with us, informed them that it would be all right to tear our hair out.
Yes.
He's not with us any longer. Good.
You are all married, right?
Yes, right.
Anyone for children?
I have a little baby girl. I have a boy. And I don't have anything yet.
You might.
You might?
I hope so. I hope that's what it is, Nick. In February.
In February?
Uh-huh.
Boy or girl?
Yes. Possibly. She may have twins, as a matter of fact, the doctor said.
Really?
Yes.
Kelly, the Kingston twins.
Well,
yes.
Come on. A little strong there.
How did you feel when the musicians and the critics at the Newport Jazz Festival didn't want you to come on a little while back?
I felt very apprehensive. We all did, I think. And the audience, was great, really.
What did you do about it?
Well, what do you do? You know, like you're booked to play a certain place that you yourself don't feel you should play. Mm-hmm. And you just sort of brave it out until... you get out there, and after the first number, the audience was just wild. It was probably one of the wildest audiences we've ever played to.
You three have been cutting up a whole lot tonight.
We always do. We're terribly misbehaved.
Are you going to cut up on the next song?
No, we're going to sing, finally, we'll sing a serious before you.
All right.
And
is he going to get his
John's going to get his guitar. Bobby can start playing anytime he wants. Let's see if we're in tune. We'd like to sing a serious song, one for Joyce. Bobby was a good sport, I think, with the... rock and roll. I think you could do the twist at least.
You could do the hula.
Next. I'm gonna do the hula. Okay, buddy. During troubled times, this could probably be the answer to almost any young child's question: where have all the flowers gone?
Where have all the flowers gone? Long time passing. Where have all the flowers gone? Long time ago. Where have all the flowers gone? Young girls pick them, everyone. When will they ever learn? When will they ever?
have all the young girls gone? Long time passing, where have all the young girls gone? Long time ago, where have all the young girls gone? Gone to young men, everyone. When will they ever learn? When will they ever learn? Where have all the young men gone? Long time passing. Where have all the young men gone? Long time ago. Where have all the young men gone? Gone to soldiers, everyone. When will they ever learn? When will they ever learn? Where have all the soldiers gone? Long time passing. Where have all the soldiers gone? Long, long time ago. Where have all the soldiers gone? Gone to graveyards, everyone. When will they ever learn? When will they ever learn? Where have all the graveyards gone? Long time passing. Where have all the graveyards gone? Long time ago. Where have all the graveyards gone? Gone to flowers, everyone. When will they ever learn? When will they ever learn?
Learned that from a group here in New York, as a matter of fact. Brand new group called Peter, Paul, and Mary, who you may have on the show someday.
Yes, we may have.
Great.
Do you like singing the down songs or the up songs best?
A combination of both. One gets your adrenaline going, the other one makes you feel at home. Really.
Coming up is a hand-clapping, foot-stomping finale, a la Kingston Trio.
I have to get my hand-clapping.
Before we have a little more conversation with the Kingston Trio, I understand that we have an Ed Sullivan imitation. Why not?
No, really.
Huh? Why not?
Because I'm a green room comic, Mike.
Yes, he's a coward. He's the funniest man during the commercials, really. Well, we mentioned earlier that the trio has... Well, not that funny, really. That the trio has branched out. They sell testimonials and shirts and restaurants and real estate. Would you tell me a little bit, because I gather you're the brains of the crowd.
No, I just shoot my mouth off. So, like Bobby's the brains.
Buckwheat's really the secret.
I just shoot my brains out.
What? Seriously, how many various enterprises are you in, Nick?
We have gone into real estate in California and construction.
When you say you've gone into real estate,
Real estate, and we have a construction company that builds the houses.
You mean actually buy a lot of acres and you...
Buy a lot of acres and actually do the work. We have someone that works with us and we decide on the property ourselves that we're going to buy. We have people looking for it. And we have a board of directors meeting and sit down and...
Really?
And
then what's this testimonials thing, Bob?
Testimonial?
The shirts.
The shirts. You want one?
Yeah.
$5.98.
All right, $5.98. Take it off your back, right? Something about a restaurant? What's that about? Do you have... I thought possibly you were a busboy to begin with at the restaurant, and they heard you singing over the dishes.
I'm still a busboy.
Now, where is the restaurant, John?
It's in Sausalito, California.
Tell them the name.
It's called The Trident. No, Tommy's mother's business. No, it's The Trident, and I don't own any part of it at all.
Oh, you mean Dave Gard still has most of that, is that
no,
it?
No, it's John Will someday.
No, really.
He behaves himself and keeps his nose clean.
He's
a good boy.
I own a bar stool there. It's my stool. And
one of our best customers.
Uh-huh. All right, what else? What are the kinds of... oil wells?
No, we have a... Well, I hate to... Forget it. You know, it's an extraordinary thing, though, when you think about it. Three young fellows, not out of their 20s. Four young fellows. One out of his... one
out of his mind.
Just about into his 40s. Just about into his 40s, Buckwheat. $1 million a year just for going around the country a little bit and singing. Are you ever a little ashamed about it, Nick?
Never. A little guilty. Never ashamed.
I'm ashamed. You are ashamed, huh?
Right now.
You should stand in this club. No. What would you do, John? What would you do if all of a sudden the bubble were to burst and the Kingston Trio went up in smoke? How would you make your living?
Wish you hadn't brought that up, Mike. I hadn't really thought about it. So.
Is there anything that any one of you fellows would like to do if it weren't for this?
I think we're all decided to be commentators.
Yes, no. We're going to, I think, you know, like Bobby and I would probably stand in real estate end of the thing. And maybe, you know, like we've gotten a big kick out of with other young entertainers and new groups especially, you know, like giving them a hand and if we can, in any way we can, you know, like suggestions and people, you know, that might help them out. Right, Mike?
Right, you are.
Got a group we'll talk to you about right after the show.
All right. Oh, are those the Four Amigos that you brought the
That's one group. Spanish group. It's just wild.
I understand. They're very good. So you're going to wind up being flesh peddlers as well?
No, that's the trouble. There's too many flesh peddlers in the business now.
What do you mean?
I mean, the business is full of managers and agents that's all they do. They don't care anything about the personal life or feelings of the entertainer. And I think, you know, like the three of us could actually, you know, have some sort of an insight on this that we're actually have been in the business.
You would understand your acts a little bit better?
Yes. I'm not talking about our manager because we've been one of the lucky few, really. Because he started out not being a manager. He was just,
What's his name?
Frank Werber.
Where is he?
He's hiding behind a beard somewhere.
The reason being, as long as we have a half a minute, I'd love for everybody to meet him. He's the best looking one of the whole crowd.
Frank, come on up.
He's in the control room.
Come on, Frank.
Yes, he's cringing under the table now.
Frank started out.
All right, I understand. Yeah. Frank started out what?
He was, we met him.
There he is.
Yeah.
Yay. Whoop. As long as it's old home week for the commissioner, it's about time.
It's even sawed. It's a werewolf.
Let's get a call. Why did he, why did you grow the beard?
I don't have a chance.
He's Andy Gump. I'm drag.
If you ever wanted to hang him, you'd have to put the rope under his arms.
You gotta whisper. You sing? Frank, do you sing?
No, not at all.
He
I can't.
And do you care about their personal problems?
Yeah, most certainly.
He lives with them daily.
Have they got a lot of them?
Boy.
No, what do you mean by that?
I tell you, the next time we do an hour with the Kingston Trio, you can do the personal problems.
Good.
That'd be good.
That's a
new show.
Yeah, we've got to get on. Let them. What are you going to do for a getaway number?
John, you're going to do an announcement for this song.
Do it, sir. John? Right,
yes, I was going to do an announcement for this song. This involves all of you out there. It involves you either clapping or stomping or singing. And the basic rhythm, depending on how basic you all want to be. This song was discovered by Louis Armstrong in an old Reader's Digest, and it's called When the Saints Go
Marching In. Yeah. It was originally done by
Chubby Checker and the Congolese Army Band.
Yes, all right.
Jack Parr is ready.